constantly making changes until the perfecting, constant perfectionism until the very last minute. So
hi, Tanya. I just want to let you know that I went ahead and started the recording.
Okay.
So we are recording.
Great. So I think I'll go ahead and I'd like to just start and welcome everyone to this evening's Bond Oversight Committee meeting. Thank you all for joining us. Dr. Holt, our esteemed facilitator, is running just a little bit behind. So I'm going to start us off just a little bit with some reminders about our virtual meeting experience. I think we're all old hands at this now, but just want to welcome everyone and just have a quick reminder of our online meeting protocols and tips. We have started recording the meeting, and so all of the slides and audio, including the chat, will be recorded for this meeting tonight. So please remember to mute yourself when you are not speaking. That'll help decrease any background noise that may be happening in your environment. And also when you do unmute yourself, please remember to introduce yourself before speaking, just a first name. And I will start. I am Tanya Wolfersberger. I use she, her pronouns, and I work for the Portland Housing Bureau, helping coordinate housing bond programs, which is very fun and exciting. And I think I will pass it around the room for introductions and just start with our BOC members that I see in the room. So I will call on a few folks. I'll start with Susan, please.
Okay, I'm Susan Emmons, a Bond Oversight Committee member, and I use she, her pronouns.
Great. Todd, would you like to go next?
Sure. Good evening, everyone. Todd Struble, you see him and his pronouns, and I'm on the Bond Oversight Committee.
Great. Alan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Good afternoon, all. I'm Alan Lazo with the Fair Housing Council of Oregon. My pronouns are he, him, his. I'm a Bond Oversight Committee member.
Great. And Annalisa?
Hi, yes. Good evening, everyone. I'm Annalisa Curler. I use she, her pronouns, and I am a Bond Oversight Committee member.
Wonderful. Okay, and we have lots of PHB staff with us tonight. We can certainly go around and do some quick introductions. I'll start with Ms. Shannon.
Good afternoon, everyone. Shannon Callahan of the Portland Housing Bureau.
Molly, are you with us?
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. So nice to see you. I'm Molly Rogers. I'm the Deputy Director of the Portland Housing Bureau, and I go by she, her pronouns, and I'll send it off to Jill.
Hi, everyone. This is Jill Chen. I'm also with PHB, the Housing Investments and Portfolio Preservation Manager, and also use she, her pronouns. And I will send it over to Mike.
Hi, Mike Johnson. I'm the Finance and Accounting Manager here at the Portland Housing Bureau. Good evening.
Mike, would you like to pass it on to one of your colleagues, or I can do the honors?
I actually can't see one that hasn't spoken already on the screen. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask. I'm going to pass it on to Martha.
Hi, everyone. I'm Martha Calhoun, Public Information Manager for the Portland Housing Bureau.
I'll go next. Hi, everyone. Jennifer Chang, she, her pronouns, Portland Housing Bureau. Good to see everyone, especially our BOC members and Dr. Holt.
I'll go next. Gwen Thompson. I use she, her pronouns. I am the new community relations analyst and coordinator. Hello. Nice to meet everyone.
Very excited to have Gwen join our team. Thank you for introducing yourself. And now I'll hand it over to Dr. Holt. I think
I don't think we can hear you, Doc. At least I can't hear you, Dr. Holt.
Okay, well, while we have some technical difficulties getting Dr. Holt into the room with us, I think he's with us.
I think I am. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. Hi. Good evening. Welcome to our Bond Oversight Committee meeting. Welcome into the space. This is a meeting that is open to the public. It is not a public meeting. I apologize about two things. One is I had vehicle difficulty. I think that was told or shared already. And so I had to zoom in from Tigard through all of the traffic and the time to get here as quickly as possible. So it's good to be in the space. And I appreciate Tanya for covering while I was navigating that. And then to get into the space and for whatever reason have the technical challenge. But, you know, one of the things that Zoom is teaching us, I think, is a lot of patience and grace with ourselves and one another. At least I hope it is. Anyway, we are here for tonight's oversight, Bond Oversight Committee meeting. It is the 15th of April, and I am going to begin by articulating this is a meeting that's open to the public. It's not a public meeting. I'm Dr. Holt, and I facilitate our process. I'm going to do a roll call very quickly, and then we will get into our meeting tonight. So Todd Struble.
I'm here.
Excellent. Alan Lazo.
I'm here, Dr. Holt. Good to see you.
Good to see you, sir. Annalise.
Here.
And then Susan.
Here.
Excellent, excellent. Welcome into the space and appreciate you being here. Let me give us a moment to approve the minutes from the last meeting. I don't know if you need to take a second to look it over or not, or if there's someone who's ready to make a motion for approval.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented to us.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. If all are in favor, merely say aye.
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 Okay, moved and so moved. The minutes have now been accepted from the last meeting. Today is Fair Housing Month. I'm going to ask Alan if you would say a few words in regard to Fair Housing Month.
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Holt. I always like to start out by just wishing everybody a happy Fair Housing Month. So April is Fair Housing Month. The Fair Housing Act was passed on April 11th in 1968, so more than 53 years ago now. And what I just wanted to offer today is the grand prize award winner for our annual Fair Housing Month poster contest. And I think that Tanya has it on the screen here now. And that, you know, one of the things I love about the poster contest is asking the young artists a little bit about themselves. And this year's award-winning poster, which gets printed on a poster that travels around the state, is a fourth grader from Beverly Clearly School, Annalise DuPont. And when we asked Annalise a little bit about herself, she said that she wants to be an architect, an author, or both when she grows up. Her favorite subject in school is science, and her hobbies are drawing, watching anime, which as you can see has influenced her poster here, and building in Minecraft. So, you know, it is always so enlightening and encouraging to hear from these young artists. The theme of our poster contest this year was it's fun having all kinds of neighbors. And really it highlights for us the work that we do in this committee to recognize that the importance of housing isn't just putting a roof over people's heads, but it's putting folks into opportunities out their front door, into neighborhoods that are vibrant, inclusive, and full of opportunity. And, you know, and young people like Annalise have dreams like becoming an architect or an author, and that part of those folks reaching those dreams is ensuring that they have safe, stable housing, free from discrimination, and access to opportunity. So it's just a great reminder, I think, the work that we do in fair housing and how it connects to the work that we do here on this committee to bring forward affordable housing and housing throughout our city. So thank you all for the work you're doing in this community.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate that. And thanks for bringing that forward. What a great thing to celebrate and to recognize. Yes, Fair Housing Month to all. We're about to go into our time for public testimony. We're going to give opportunity for those who've signed up in advance and articulated that they would like to participate in the process and share thoughts in regard to the bond and what's going on specifically related to affordable housing. I want to direct your comments to that specifically, the request is that your comments be connected to the agenda for the meeting. If there are other concerns beyond the agenda for the meeting, you are more than encouraged to reach out to the staff of the Portland Housing Bureau. Your concerns are valid and necessary, important, want to be captured. We just like to make sure that our time is used as adequately as possible since we are in a limited opportunity tonight. You see on the screen, 2 minutes per person, and you can submit your testimony via chat also. So at this point, I will ask, is there anyone in this space who has identified a desire for public testimony?
Dr. Holt, this is Tanya. I don't have anyone signed up, but we could give a small space for anyone in the room that would like to do so now.
We will do that. We will give an opportunity if there's anyone who's in the space. Tanya, give them instruction with how they can indicate so.
Sure. As you can see on the screen here, you can use the chat feature to submit any kind of public testimony, or at least indicate that you would like to, or you can go into your participants list if that comes up for you. And there's a raise your hand feature we don't have that. I think going through chat, which may show up as the three dots at the bottom right hand corner of your menu options right here next to the chat, or through the chat, if that makes sense.
Well, since we don't have any, provided we go through the meeting, we have time at the end, we can come back and revisit that. Thanks, Tanya, for your assistance. We're going to go into our project updates, our project dashboard, and I will turn it over to Director Callahan to introduce the presenters.
Thank you, Dr. Holt. Just took me a moment to find the mute button, as is such these days. Again, it's lovely to see everyone this evening. I think for the first part of our presentation this afternoon, we have a Portland Housing Bond update. And I'd like to make sure that Jill and Chen and Tanya Wolfersberger are up and ready to do the next part of the presentation.
Yes, we are.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Shannon. Thank you so much. In terms of our bond dashboard, you will have seen that the handout showed the status of when the projects are going to be their estimated financial close, and when is the lease up, and any changes in the unit counts. Actually, since the last quarter, since our last update, there has been no changes in unit count. Everything is actually on schedule and moving forward. And the only changes you may have seen in the handout is that the funding award has now included the program delivery fee. And my colleague, Mike Johnson, will talk a little bit about that, because we're trying to make sure now that as we move forward, all the information that the Bond Oversight Committee receives, as well as also all the other committees, i.e. the Audit, auditors and such, they're all consistent so that there's no differentiation between the award amounts and the, you can call it the loan amounts. Next slide, please. We're very pleased since our last bond meeting that we have had two new closings, Las Adelitas and Hayu Tulixim. Las Adelitas closed in middle of March and already had their ground breaking. I assume some of you may have gone to already visit that one. It was a fantastic community celebration. It is a project that is sponsored by Hacienda with 141 units in the site that is formerly known as the Sugar Shack, that has been a sore eyesore for the whole community for years and years and years. And the other closing we had was in the end of March, and that was with Hayu Tulixim. This is a project sponsored by NEA and CDP, and it's 50 units, and it is on a PHB-owned site that is actually very close to Las Adelitas. It's also in the Cully neighborhood, and that is a 50-unit project. And I think NEA mentioned to me that it's supposed to be having their virtual sort of groundbreaking, I believe next week, but I haven't gotten an email from them officially confirming that. So it's very exciting to see two new projects coming on. West Wind was supposed to close end of April, actually April 29th. Unfortunately, we heard that the HUD environmental review, not environmental review, sorry, excuse me, subsidy layering review was delayed. We had given them, I think, 8 weeks to do it, and it's now probably going to be more, and they are looking at a closing in May 13th. So very exciting. That is a 100-unit project that's focused on PSH in downtown with Central City Concern. Next slide, please. In terms of upcoming project closings, we've got all of the bond projects will close in this calendar year, knock on wood. So it's very exciting. The next one closing is Stark Street, which you will hear about from Andy Miller today. It's this project sponsored with Human Solutions. And that's closing in June 3rd. And after that is Susan Emmons. Susan, thank you so much for your project. That is a project with Northwest Housing Alternatives in downtown in Northwest. And that's closing, targeted closing is June 21st. We will have a little bit of a break because OHCS is essentially because of their legislative, you can call it blackout date. We are not expecting any closings at all in July and August because of the blackout date. And then after that, there will be Anna Manhouse, 3000 Powell and Joyce. Anamon and 3000 Powell are both anticipated to close sometime in September. And Amanda Saul is here today also to talk about the 3000 Powell project, and that is with Home Forward. And the final one is Joyce, and that is anticipated to close towards the end of this year in December. And they've had a number of permitting design. So that's has been a little bit delayed. Next slide, and I think I'm handing it over to Mike.
Good evening again. As we discussed last time, the numbers were starting to move quite a bit after they'd been stagnant for a while the projects were going through their underwriting process. I think the biggest change now is we are showing the percent expended number has now gone over 25% of the bond issue. So that's a, I think that's a significant milestone. We've been quite a ways under that number for a while, even with having bought several buildings. But now we've kind of broken over that milestone point. We'll continue to see that number grow. We meet with you again at the next meeting. Obviously we're in the heart of construction season. And as Jill pointed out, we have a couple more closings happening between now and June 30th. So we'll really start seeing that expended amount grow. And of course, as that happens, the committed amount will also begin shrinking in a corresponding manner. Showing the reserved and remaining amounts, we'll be hanging on to those reserve amounts until we get all the way through closing. And then that'll be reevaluated closing on the existing projects, and then we'll reevaluate that as we start contemplating what next steps are on the bond. The interest and credits number is continuing to grow, as I've indicated to you it would, as the majority of the bond funds are earning interest right now. But as you can see, we're now starting to as of this week, starting to draw on the 2020 bonds that were sold a few months ago. So things are really moving. There's a lot of change going on. You'll notice from the financial report, we've actually changed the format a little bit. We're actually now showing a column for the amount spent on each project. So you can track the progress of each project separately. As Jill also indicated, we're showing what the full award amount was. You know, remember we were breaking out the admin allocation, we called it, separately. But as we, for these projects, we rolled that amount into the project because of how the projects are paying the program delivery fee, we wanted to make sure we were showing what the actual award amounts were on this sheet. As we move forward to another stage of the bond, we'll see how that mechanism works. That may change how we present things again. Something I did wanted to reference again from the report is showing our delivery expenses so far. Showed us both of a percentage of project expenses and the expenses and commitments. So while on the I think those numbers got transposed, we're at about 2.8% on expenses as a. No, excuse me, I'm wrong on that. They're fine. Going a little cross-eyed this late in the day, I'm sorry. So the delivery expenses of percent of project expenses, you'll see we're actually a little over 7%. And as we've discussed with you before, we are front-loaded on our delivery expenses because of there's both the solicitation and the underwriting process. So if we actually take a look at our admin or delivery expenses as a percentage of the expenses and commitments, we're under 3% right now. So that's another set of numbers that will change most definitely by the time we get to the next meeting. And I would definitely expect that as a percent of project expenses will be under that 7%. Those two numbers will start moving together. So a lot of information there, a lot of changes. I think they're good changes, and they're showing progress in what we're doing. So I'd be happy to take any questions you might have.
Any questions from the Oversight Committee? I see Susan shaking her head, and it looked like Todd shook his head as well. Yes, Alan.
Even Alan, though I had you didn't let me down, Alan. Thank you.
I know.
You.
Well, even though I had my second COVID-19 vaccination today, I'm still alert enough to have a question.
Well, I do my first one tomorrow. So Glad to hear it.
I'm okay so far. My arm hurts though. Hey, Mike, I'm curious on, you mentioned the expended, this expended category, but the number that's in the report, it looks different than the what's on the screen there. Am I not reading that right? Or is there not all the projects in the report? It's on page 2, right? That expended column.
Right. So you've got the original bond acquisition expenses of the $52 million. And to that, there's another $16 million. So that's okay. Where the $68 million comes from.
Got it. Okay. I see. That was, okay. So it's just laid out a little bit differently. Right on. Okay. Right. Another question is, there's a 7% cap on admin, right, in the bond. Mm-hmm. And so which of those numbers, I'm assuming it's got to be the project expenses and commitments, right? It's got to be the total. So it's 7% of that total, which is essentially the bond total.
Right. As I said, those two numbers will get closer together as we go through. It's 7% over the life of the bond. And at any particular point in time, we, especially doing this many projects up front and the nature of how our expenses happen. Whereas if it was a construction project, the city was doing the program delivery expenses might be a little bit more of a bell-shaped curve, whereas our expenses are more front-loaded, again, because of the nature of what we're doing. All the work that Jill's team's doing, they've been grinding on these 9 projects for what, over a year now, Jill? And then they'll get a little bit of a breather as they get into September and October, but then I don't know if Andrew's on the call, but his team in the construction corner is then pick it up. And actually my team starts adding into it too. But in terms of relative cost of the delivery, definitely the more of it up front here. And we'll see the same thing with the next round we do also.
Got it. Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Any other questions for Mike? Well, Mike, I think you are off the hook. So thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good evening. I'll stick around in case there's other questions.
Excellent. Thank you. We will move forward. And I think the planning for remaining bond funds is to you, Director Callahan.
Thank you, Dr. Holt. And it's as we discussed at our last meeting, and as you just saw from the remaining funds left to be allocated under the Portland Housing Bond, we are presently targeting just over $36 million. And that is not including what we've set aside to include for administrative expenses. So this is available for projects in the future. And so I just wanted to go through a few key points to kind of ground us back in that long ago world of the stakeholder advisory group and a couple of other key things. And then frankly, take the time to hear from our oversight committee members about things that we should be considering or factoring from your perspective as we bring forward a plan to do more, build more, buy more, create more affordable housing. So really the point of this next section is to pull out a little bit of information from you. So I'm gonna go pretty quickly to give you just some background again to ground us in some of our guiding principles. Next slide, please. As you may recall from the stakeholder advisory group that met, the priorities for priority communities were and are communities of color, families, including families with children, immigrant and refugees, and intergenerational households. Households experiencing homelessness or at imminent risk, and households facing displacement. Next slide, please. Our progress on the bond, as you know, we are on target to exceed our goals with the projects that are currently in process and applying a a similar metric, if we were to take those same funds and not exceed $150,000 contribution per unit, we could expect a potential of another 245 units and or potentially exceeding our total commitment to the voters by 33%. So just to kind of put in context what we have remaining. Next slide, please. I also wanted to share with you information about where the city and the county are in their shared goal to create permanent supportive housing, which is part of our commitment to helping folks who are living on our streets or in our shelters, or people who need that extra bit of wraparound services to truly be successful in our housing. So far, to reach that 2,000 unit goal, we've got 1,265 either it planned or in operation. We expect another 250 from further progress on the Metro bond, and there's still a need to identify resources for that goal of 485 units. So I wanted to share that with you because I know we probably don't share that with you often enough, just to know how the bond fits into some of our other goals. And so next slide, please. So based on kind of a little bit of a snapshot review, I would like to, and the team would like to pull out from you what things, what considerations that we should be building in as we look at the next planning phase for having more resources. So with that, I'd like to make sure that we hear from each committee member, if that's possible, to share some thoughts and ideas.
Thanks, Director Callahan. What I'd like to do is I will just call on each of the oversight committee. And I saw your hand go up first, Susan, so.
One of the geographical goals we didn't meet, and it wasn't that we didn't try, was to get a building in Southwest Portland. If at all possible, I'd like to see that a priority. And I think I'm sitting on the Metro Supportive Housing Services Oversight Committee and watching that roll out. And that's going to be a lot of resources to provide rent assistance and supportive services. And it seems like any project we have going forward that we'd fund, it would be nice to see a linkage, some sort of linkage between that project and these supportive services that are going to be available. I don't know how to talk about that, a marriage, just an encouragement to see a building that would be open to housing chronically homeless people, knowing that there are going to be significant supportive services available. So those were just some of my thoughts.
Thanks, Susan. Director Callahan, did you want to respond at all?
Oh, you know, I'd rather just let everybody on the committee share their thoughts and comments. And if there's time at the end, we're happy to, I'm happy to give more detail, but I want to make sure that each committee member has a chance to reflect.
Thank you very much. Todd Struble, sir.
I mean, Susan took mine. I think the first thing that popped to mind was like the geographic presence of the projects and where we did not get to Southwest. So I guess I kind of would, in my head, I was thinking like, oh, I'd like to see the map again and see kind of that distribution over the city. And then the second part was, yeah, permanent supportive housing. I'm not as involved as Susan is on those discussions. But, you know, I think there was there's just a strong need for it. You know, I think there was a commitment from our bond to provide a certain number. And if we can exceed that, I think that would be good.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Alan, your thoughts.
Thank you, Dr. Holt. Yeah, I would agree with my colleagues, with Susan and Todd, in both this leveraging of the resources that are around for PSH right now, but and then add an and to that, that, you know, given how the work that you all have done to exceed the goals of the bond already, it sort of puts us in this place where we have an opportunity now where we're past the finish line to some degree. And so we have the opportunity to do something that
we're not necessarily required to do, is what I would say, right? So we could do something that that could meet some very specific needs, whether that's around PSH or geography. The other geography was inner north and northeast, right? And maybe it's at looking at different income levels or specific communities, because there are a lot of PSH resources right now. So it's curious to look at, you know, one way to think about it might be, you know, I kind of am scrolling through the summary right now and trying to visualize whether or not there's any gaps that are there if we were to take a matrix of those original priorities against what we actually ended up with. You know, would we see a gap anywhere? And, you know, I'm not sure that there are any glaring ones. And so, you know, maybe it is just looking for that special opportunity with those funds that might arise, and, you know, whether that's geographically or community specific. So that's kind of what I would say is, you know, the upside of where you all have put us is we're not, you know, we're not sort of not scrambling at the end to meet the goals. And so we, you know, if we have a very specific opportunity that comes up, I think, you know, I'd be comfortable saying, let's look at it rather than saying, well, we can't because we still need to meet all these other goals. So that's where my thinking's at right now.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate that. Annalise?
Yeah, I mean, I think ditto to what everyone else has been saying. I had a similar thought about kind of deep Southwest, although I think I'd want to see a map of kind of the affordable housing that's available in Portland and lay the bond on top of it, because I don't know if there's already a bunch of affordable housing that exists in Southwest Portland, and so less of a need and wanting to think about it holistically as opposed to just our bond projects. And yes, obviously a strong commitment for PSH and 0-30. The other thing that is in my head, and I don't know if this is really the right tool for it, is I think we are really yet to grasp kind of the ramifications for the pandemic and COVID-19 on our community, and what that will mean for our community members, and kind of just from a kind of more business perspective, what it means for the real estate market. And so part of me wants to kind of hold tight a little bit on it, or just see what opportunities might arise, whether they're urgent in their nature to respond to COVID in some way. And I don't, you know, they're bond dollars. They're not going to be structured as rent assistance. I know that. But just thinking about the kind of unknowns of the pandemic and what our community will look like, and if there maybe is an opportunity, since, as Alan pointed out, like, we have really met our goals. And so what that means to me is that there's an opportunity to be very nimble and flexible in a way that sometimes we're not.
Thank you very much. Director Callahan, I think we've got a couple minutes if you'd like to just frame anything up before we move to the next section. Might be great.
So first of all, I appreciate all of your very thoughtful comments. This will not be the end of the discussion, but before we start to develop plans, I wanted to make sure that we heard from each of you. We do have some concepts, but things we really need to come out together as a team. I also just did want to note, we still had 51 vouchers remaining, at least thus far, from our commitment from Home Forward. And I think in conversations that I've had with the Joint Office about the Supportive Housing Services measure, I definitely think we can achieve additional rent assistance support and service support for permanent supportive housing. So I believe it's very possible for us to make a really strategic decision about a priority population in a way to build a building that is serving a particular focus with supportive housing. I also think we have some opportunities to potentially be opportunistic with some of these resources as well. And we'll be sure to come back with you and do the mapping again. We'll make sure to get a map out for you so you can see some of the other areas where there's not as much affordable housing, not just related to the bond. I will say that we have been working with Metro on Metro's bond related to Southwest Portland. It is a harder topography, and there's not as much available land, especially now that the light rail line is not at any point imminent. So that is at least a consideration on our part. And I would be remiss if I also didn't say that I think East Portland, although we have invested significantly in East Portland, I think our continual investment in the area that we know is, you know, East Portland is where we're frankly seeing rent increases. The central city, we're not. So even during the pandemic, as the central city's rent actually as they're coming down, East Portland is rising just a tiny touch, which is clearly showing that the displacement is, even during this time period, is more of a risk. So we'll come back with you and provide you more information. And just wanted to thank you for your thoughtfulness and helping us as we guide the next steps. And I'm just so excited that we're gonna be able to do more and create more affordable housing with our resource. And I wanted to thank you for your guidance as a committee. And I wanted to thank the entire PHP team who has been working on these projects alongside our community partners. And I'm frankly amazed that how much everyone has been able to keep on track to know that we're gonna have all of our buildings at some phase of construction by the end of this year is pretty exciting. So just gratitude to our community partners and yourself and our team, and thank you.
Thank you, Director Callahan. Yeah, it's pretty incredible to be at this space and the opportunities that are in front to do more. How appropriate, how fantastic. We are now at our next section, the project team presentations. Tanya, I believe that falls to you.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Holt. I'm Tanya Wolfersberger again. I just want to kick us off, and we've got two project teams coming to speak with you all tonight on our Stark Street Housing Project and 3000 Southeast Powell team is back to give you an update. So I want to just start by introducing and handing over the reins of presentation to Ryan Winterberg-Lipp and Andy Miller from Human Solutions.
Great. Thank you, Tanya and Dr. Holt, members of the committee. I see some familiar faces. Good evening, everyone, and thank you all for your service overseeing this critical public resource. I appreciate the time and the attention you give to this task, and it's an important one. I'm Andy Miller. I'm the Executive Director of Human Solutions, and co-presenting with me tonight is our Senior Project Manager, Ryan Winterberg-Lipp. We will try to proceed through the slides quickly and present the project and save some time to answer any of your questions. So next slide, please. So briefly, many of you may be familiar with Human Solutions, but for those who are not, we're a community-based nonprofit that has been pushing back on the forces causing poverty and homelessness in East Portland and East Multnomah County for the last 32 years. We have a team of 140 staff, and they deliver a range of services. Those services include the operation of three shelters, providing support and rehousing services for families and adult women experiencing homelessness, as well as a range of housing and economic justice programs that provide resources and support so families in East County can achieve real housing and economic security. It's really what we do. But we also are an affordable housing development corporation, and we develop, own, and operate affordable housing, including permanent supportive housing. And you see some of the numbers listed up there. One change since this slide was produced, we now have 17 apartment communities across our service area. The latest being the Nick Fish, our project that just opened on Discovery Park in East Portland. And will also be the new location of our Portland side offices. So really excited to be moving in there, as well as many of the affordable housing residents. So with the next slide, I'm going to turn it over to Ryan. Oh, I'm sorry. I got one more to do. So this is the project partners, our funders, the Portland Housing Bureau, thank you, and Oregon Housing Community Services. Also, you see our development team, Colas Construction is the general contractor, Hulst Architects, and Edelin and Company, which was our development consultant on this project. I should add that Holst and Colas have been with Human Solutions at this site since we first acquired it in 2016 for future development, which we are finally now ready to begin. But for a brief period, it did serve as a temporary family shelter in the aging building that was on site when we acquired it. And Holst and Colas donated generously a lot of their time to refurbish that building and get it up to speed for use as the shelter. That shelter, I'm now happy to report, has a permanent home at 77th and Powell at a former motel, now known as our Lilac Meadows Shelter. You also see listed here our service partner, LifeWorks Northwest, who will be providing behavioral health services at the project. I'll say a little more about that later, but now I am actually going to turn it over to Ryan to walk you through the project specifics and highlights.
Thank you, Andy. Like Andy said, my name is Ryan. I'm a senior housing project manager with Human Solutions, and I'll now give you an overall kind of perspective of the project and some of the things that we think are really interesting to report back. So thank you for having us here with you tonight, committee members. So the Stark Street project, and I think you may have heard of it before, but if not, it's a nice refresher. It is 93 units total. One third of those units will be at 0 to 30% of AMI. And the remaining 62 are at 60% AMI per the set aside, though our intention is to rent the units at approximately 55% AMI for deeper affordability to meet the needs of the communities that we serve in East Portland. And about half of the units will either be 2 or 3 bedroom to provide housing specifically for families. Human Solutions and LifeWorks Northwest will be the two service providers serving the permanent supportive housing units and also the entire community there. And I'll talk a little bit more about how those services work. The priority communities that we anticipate will be served by the Stark Street project meet the bond solicitation priorities and also what we know about operating housing for formerly homeless families in East Portland and East Multnomah County. We know that the waves of displacement from other higher cost Portland neighborhoods are forcing people to East Portland communities. And there's also a concurrent increasing cost in East Portland as rents continue to rise, where they are traditionally have been more depressed. And we know that families, particularly communities of color or families who have children in schools, are those who are most impacted by those forces. So we're really going to be targeting partnerships when it comes to lease up to serve these particularly impacted communities. And we anticipate that the project, when it is complete, will provide quality housing for over 221 people. So next slide, please. Thank you. So in terms of some project highlights, our site is located at the intersection of Southeast Stark and 160th, which is in the city's official Glenfair neighborhood. And it's in what's oftentimes considered the Rosewood neighborhood, which is one of the most diverse neighborhoods in Portland. I believe about 28% of residents in Rosewood are foreign born. So it's incredibly diverse, vibrant, and evolving community. And Human Solutions has been part of the Rosewood Initiative's a community-driven strategy for a holistic neighborhood revitalization for many years now. And the intent of providing affordable housing within this strategy is that quality housing can be created before costs increase and gentrification and displacement occur to ensure that the neighborhood remains a diverse and vibrant place. We're really excited to be able to be part of that overall community-driven strategy in the neighborhood. Our site is really well served by a number of amenities. I'll just point out that it's 2 blocks away from a MAX station, so incredibly well connected to the region. And like Andy said, this site we're particularly excited for the redevelopment because it's been a long time coming. Our new building will replace the now vacant former family center shelter, which the neighborhood is also incredibly excited for. A transformational investment. It's a really visible and critical block, and we think will really set the tone for a community-driven, exciting investments in this particular part of Rosewood that haven't happened in many years. Next slide, please. Great. So just a few project highlights. Our new building will be 5 stories, including 93 units and 27 on-site parking spaces. And certain elements of our programming were informed by community engagement that we've been doing through the Rosewood Initiative for several years, and also with our partners and our Human Solutions staff, many of whom represent the community. And one of the things that we heard is that to design intentional housing for families, we really needed to provide spaces both indoor and outdoor for play activities. So this is an image of our outdoor play area, and you'll see an image of our indoor play area soon. But that's a particularly exciting way to meet the needs of families. We are also seeking Earth Advantage Multifamily Platinum Certification, which is an awesome way to implement the PHB green building policy. We've been really intentional and meaningful about meeting some of those green building targets. And in terms of timeline, we anticipate starting construction in June 2021 and finishing up in early January 2023. So next slide, please. In terms of overall project funding sources, we were so excited to be awarded just about $14.9 million from the PHB Housing Bond. And that does include that program delivery fee that's sort of baked in, which allows us to leverage over $24 million of other public and private funds, including about $11 million in tax credits, loan from JPMorgan Chase of just under $6 million. We received LIFT funding from the state of Oregon of about $3.8 million and funding from what is now known as the ORMAP program, formerly weatherization, for some of those green building techniques that we are integrating. A number of different grants, including Metro, the Collins Foundation, Meyer Memorial Trust, as well as the Schweigert Foundation, that we have done in partnership with our fantastic development fundraising team. And we've received about $1.5 million in SDC exemptions from the city of Portland, which is so meaningful and something that is not found across all of the jurisdictions where we do work. So it's really worth pointing out that those exemptions are incredibly meaningful for affordable housing. And we also have a $1 million deferred developer fee, which gets to total project cost. We consider about $37 million because we don't factor the SDC exemptions into that number, but shown here just shy of $40 million. So we can go on to the next slide. Great. So our project is currently in pre-development as we are planning on starting in construction in June. And some of the highlights to point out here demonstrate that we are aligned with the bond solicitation priorities and also with Human Solutions' mission in providing housing and services to our East Portland and East Multnomah County communities. And while Human Solutions has been providing permanent supportive housing services for the last 16 years. We've done that in a variety of new construction projects that we own, also services for other housing providers. This was a really exciting opportunity for us to be intentional about the design of our building and all of the partnerships that built it, really to meet the needs of families in permanent supportive housing. And we should point out that the braiding together of a capital source, services dollars and a rental subsidy that came through the bond solicitation has really allowed us to do that. That has not always been the case in a lot of our experiences. So we've been really meaningful and sustainable about what it means to operate permanent supportive housing. And for example, on the design side, we've been working with our architects at Holst to integrate theories of trauma-informed design into the building in many different ways to meet the needs of future residents. So it's been an exciting opportunity for us to be very intentional. One of the exciting partnerships that we are able to do because of the services funding that was offered through the bond solicitation is an on-site mental and behavioral health partnership with LifeWorks Northwest. We heard loud and clear through our community engagement that there was a community desire for low barrier, super accessible mental and behavioral health services, something that a lot of community residents really struggle with, whether that's from an insurance perspective or a physical perspective or a stigma perspective. And what's really exciting for us is that through the services dollars that is offered through the bond solicitation, that LifeWorks Northwest mental health practitioner will be on site and actually able to serve every resident of the building who gets their health insurance through the Oregon Health Plan. So not just the permanent supportive housing residents, but everyone on site. Because we know that low-income people and communities of color experience systematic trauma in lots of different ways. So there is certainly a need for mental and behavioral health services beyond just the PSH units. And one thing that we forgot to note here on this slide is that we are able, and it's incredibly exciting for us to do this, going to be able to offer high-speed internet access for free to every resident already plugged into their unit and available through Wi-Fi, as well as all of the common areas in the building, which we have learned has been particularly important now that COVID has truly just laid bare to us the inequities in many ways, but also when it comes to internet and technology access. So it's super exciting that we'll be able to do for residents. And then Andy will talk a little bit more about partnerships at the end, but in terms of milestones, we expect our building permit to be ready probably in just the next few weeks in May. We'll close our financing in June, start construction, and then like many projects, we will be entertaining probably what may be a virtual groundbreaking in summer, but we would love to find a way to make it socially distanced and in person. So stay tuned on that. And then construction is anticipated to take about 19 months overall. So next slide. Thank you. There's been a couple changes, I think probably since this project came before you or you've seen information about it. The first of which is that we found an opportunity during design to include more 3-bedroom units and we snapped it up to meet the needs of families in East Portland. We've also been able to do an entire brick facade of the building. So that's something that's really exciting both from a durability perspective in the ongoing sustainability and life of the building. But offers a classic aesthetic and a really lovely exterior that we think will really set a lot of context in this particular part of Rosewood that hasn't seen a lot of investment in the past. And we received funding from the OHCS LIFT program last summer, which enabled us to make some of those decisions like the internet readiness for households, the brick exterior, larger 3-bedroom units, which are more expensive. We're also able, as a result of the LIFT funding, to include a solar array on the roof, and really meaningfully implement the PHB green building policy. So next slide, please. And then just a little update on our MWESB contracting goals. Like Andy mentioned, Colas is our general contractor and they are the largest Black-owned general contractor in the Pacific Northwest. And one of the many reasons that we love working with Colas is that MWESB participation is a really an inherent part of their mission. They take it to heart. It is baked into their values at every level. And they do this in a really meaningful way. They mentor, they outreach, they have incredible transparency and truly long-term relationships with their MWESB subcontractors, which aligns with our values when it comes to MWESB contracting and how we spend our money at Human Solutions. So our total participation is just shy of 32%, which results in about $6.86 million to MWESB firms. So we're incredibly excited to spend our money in a way that aligns with our values. Next slide, please. And then, like I mentioned, we are incredibly thrilled to be able to implement permanent supportive housing meaningfully, sustainably, through the bond opportunity solicitation. This knitting together of funding has been incredibly impactful. But of course, one of the challenges that is always present in affordable housing is that the approval processes, and for all of our many sources, can be complex. So we have multiple public funders with multiple processes and timelines that we all have to sync up together. And we have to sync them up with our lenders and our investors that have their own internal processes. So it's a carefully orchestrated dance that is sometimes hard to align perfectly with the iterative and sort of fast timing of a real estate project. So it's particularly challenging right now. I think you may have heard of capacity limits and blackout dates with the state of Oregon when it comes to their closing timelines. So we're driving really hard to hit all of these multitude of deadlines. We are also wrestling with a HUD subsidy layering review process, which I think all of the projects that have project-based vouchers are also navigating, and we've built in an extraordinarily amount of time to navigate that process. But again, there's sort of the system that we work in doesn't always line up well with an iterative and fast-moving real estate process. So, and then the final challenge I think that I'll mention is not a challenge that is unique to our project or to affordable housing or bus projects, but probably every real estate project in the United States at this very moment, is that there are certain commodities that are really volatile because of some very large market factors They're a little hard to predict and hard to get the timing right of when to buy out materials. Supply chain, I think, is a challenge, and availability of some of the components and systems that go into buildings. So we, like many projects, have been navigating this very closely with our contractor and with their subcontractors. COLIS is in close communication with their subs to identify exposure in certain materials, ways to mitigate it, and find budget solutions along with our architect team that can keep the project on budget without sacrificing quality to the residents or quality to the overall asset in the community as well. So I think now I will switch it over to Andy on the next slide, who will wrap up what we've learned from community engagement and how it will move forward.
Yeah, last slide, and I'll try to make it quick to save you guys some time for questions. So we engaged early and often with the community on this project. We really benefited greatly from our partners at the Rosewood Initiative, which is the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative nonprofit, whose offices are right across the street from Stark Street Housing. And they have been engaged in creating a neighborhood vision for Rosewood that includes the range of housing types and community assets, wellness assets, and educational strengthening that that folks in living in the neighborhood feel that they need. And so the project really benefited in terms of its design and programming from those conversations. As Ryan mentioned, we, over the last couple of years, did a deep assessment of our own supportive housing focus groups with our residents, and really learned about the need for on-site behavioral health services from folks who have been living in supportive housing where that amenity doesn't exist. So that really resulted in the LifeWorks Northwest partnership. And then we've been working really closely with Reynolds School District, Glenfair Elementary, and H.B. Lee Middle School. This project lies in those catchment areas. Those are two schools that experience very high rates of school mobility, which really negatively impacts the school environment. Families have to move frequently in and out of the catchment area during the year, change schools. So we will be working closely with their homeless student liaisons to try to coordinate around lease up and provide, hopefully, a stable and permanent home for families that have been experienced deep instability and insecurity in their housing, already living in the neighborhood, have an existing partnership with ERCO, and are in the process of discussing a partnership with the Urban League of Portland to help BIPOC families from the communities that both of those organizations work closely with during lease-up period, so we can kind of maximize lease-up of folks from BIPOC households who, again, have been experiencing deep and ongoing housing insecurity in East Portland. So that's just a snapshot of the community engagement, and I think we'll step back now and see if you have any questions we can answer.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the Oversight Committee? Let me direct that.
I'd like to hear more about the internet on site. Yeah, just like that. That's such a cool idea. I mean, we worked on, as part of our COVID relief efforts in the past year, Apano worked on a technology grant to bridge the digital divide, and it really put in stark terms how important it is to have access to that. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Sure, I'd be happy to share more. I will say that we're still in negotiations with a specific provider that we end up going with, either a Comcast or a CenturyLink, and both have their trade-offs, and I'm sure everyone knows a lot about your experience personally with either. And the contracts that we've been able to explore with those two providers really leverage the scale of services, and that the project budget will pay as a guarantee for internet for all 93 units as well as the community spaces. So that's able to leverage a kind of a discounted rate, certainly better than any individual resident could achieve for themselves. And there's a couple different models, one of which the development budget would pay a higher upfront installation cost that essentially pays for the infrastructure for the utility provider to wire the building and provide readiness to every single unit. And then the operating budget pays for essentially kind of like a monthly access fee for each unit. So there is a higher upfront capital cost to the project that you bake into the development budget, which I would say is possible for us because we've received LIFT funding and we've received generous public funding and done really well in our capital campaign, because it's easily $100,000 of an upfront cost. So not something often that a lot of affordable housing projects can do, but we know is critically important going forward for the equity of our future residents. And it will reduce an expense to households because really what we've heard through our resident services managers and our work in the city's digital inclusion network is that many of our families can pay $0 a month for internet access, which does not mean that they should not have it. So we've been able to both bake it into the project budget and also bake it into the operating cost through additional public subsidy. So I do hope to see greater initiatives at scale that make this opportunity available to more affordable housing projects and not just our ability to negotiate with Comcast and CenturyLink. And I think the city's digital inclusion work has been making some important headway there. So we stay involved in that as well. Thanks.
Thank you. And I don't have any other questions, but I just want to say, you know, I said this about the Las Adelitas site as well, but the connection to a neighborhood prosperity network site with the Rosewood Initiative, I think it's a great example of public resources being leveraged. Familiar with the Rosewood Initiative, and they do amazing community-based work. So to include and have their support is really gratifying for me to see in these projects. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's our hope that this is the first, not the last, of the redevelopment projects that include affordable housing in this neighborhood.
Thank you very much. Any other questions from the Oversight Committee?
Dr. Holt, I don't have a question, and I know we're running super short. I just want to say thank you. This is actually the neighborhood I grew up in. These were the streets I ran around in on when I was a kid. So it's amazing to me to see what's going on out there. But one of the other things we know that's going on out there is the displacement of communities of color and immigrant and refugee communities that are settling out there. And I want to make sure that these projects that are serving those communities are getting the recognition they deserve to do that. Because I noticed, for instance, on our dashboard, I think maybe you're serving so many different great communities that we actually don't have room to put communities of color in that little square. So I want to make sure that we know that folks that are working in East Portland are serving those communities. And so I don't know how we capture that or making sure that we're capturing it when we're talking about a project like this, but it's vitally important to the work that you all are doing out there. And if we had a little bit more time, I'd love to hear more about what we can do in East Portland, given the previous conversation we had, but we're just not going to have time for that since we're very short on time. So, but just a quick thank you.
Alan, you know where to find me if you want to talk offline about what we can be doing in East Portland. Always happy to have that discussion.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Great comments. We are pushing time. That is accurate. We don't want to be insensitive at the same time. We want to make sure that we're appropriately communicating the things that need to be covered. And so we have next the 30th and Powell Home Forward Project. And we're going to give you some moments to communicate and give us an update what is happening with that project. And then right after that, we're going to have some moments with our commissioner, who is the new housing commissioner as of this year, Commissioner Dan Ryan. So 30th and Powell Home Forward.
Great. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having us. I'm Amanda Saul with Home Forward, an assistant director in the development department. And with me here tonight as well is Ben Loftus, one of our finance managers. So I was thinking as I was getting ready for this that I gave a presentation to you all a year ago, and I think it was about 3 weeks after we all went remote, and it was the first presentation I'd given over Zoom. And I was thinking, well, it's a year later and here we are, and I'm more ready than I was a year ago. That's good. So I'm here to give a brief update about 30th and Powell, which is the site that's located on Southeast 30th and Powell, site that was purchased by the Portland Housing Bureau a few years ago. Tanya, can you go to the next slide? Sorry, just really quick. Do we have the renderings and the site plan as well? Are they at the, could we do those first?
I can bring those up if you'd like. Which one would you like to see, Amanda?
Can you just show a site plan, the site plan? That would be great. I think that will just help orient us a little bit.
I'm gonna stop sharing my screen for a second and bring that up.
Thank you. Sorry.
You all see that?
Yes, thanks. Could you make it just a little bit bigger?
Sure, I will try to find my little screens.
Oops, thanks.
Too big, maybe.
That's great. So just to sort of help orient people, this is 30th on the right-hand side of your, this is Powell on the right-hand side of your screen. This little half street that you see at the top is 30th Avenue. And then this building is what will become the Powell Project. And I'll just remind folks that about a year ago in March, we bought an additional site sort of at the back of the site to help create a bigger, better, and more developable project. And so I just wanted to show the site plan because it gives you a sense that it incorporates the two lots. There is some parking in the back, and then also access off of 31st Street down here at the bottom of your screen on the left-hand side. As I talk about other things, it will just it just helps for a little bit of context to be able to see what the site looks like currently. Okay, thanks, Tanya. You can go back to the slides now. Great, thank you. Just to update folks, this project is a total of 206 units. From the last time we were before you, it's reduced by 4 units, which was just to make everything fit sort of in the building footprint. It's a total of 68 units that will serve folks at 0 to 30%, and 30 of those units will be set aside for family PSH units. There's a total of 59 two-bedroom units and 6 three-bedroom units. The two and the three-bedroom units will also have project-based vouchers to ensure that extremely low-income people only have to pay 30% of their income to live there. We're right now working closely with the Joint Office of Homeless Services to develop our services partnerships. And they have helped us to identify that right now, the Latinx community and chronically homeless families in the Latinx community are underserved by our PSH projects. And so we're working to develop those partnerships and create those services plan to make sure we're serving folks that are most in need. And just overall, one of the metrics that the Portland Housing Bureau uses is just estimated number of people housed. So we estimate that this project will serve about 362 people. Next slide, please. This picture on the right is the back of the housing project, which is when we added the additional lot, it allowed us to provide a lot more outdoor space. So we're able to incorporate a half-court basketball hoop, a children's play area, both outside and inside, some raised garden beds, and a really nice seating area as well. So I feel like this really gives you a sense of what it will be like to live there. On the left-hand side of the screen, you see the sources of funding. Portland Housing Bonds, huge important source for this project. This number includes the admin fee as Ryan was saying earlier, we also benefit from systems development charge waivers in the city of Portland, which makes a huge difference. Low-income housing tax credits, permanent loan, and then a seller note for the land value, and then Home Forward's deferred developer fee help to create all of the funding to make this project possible. That will be about $80 million. And the housing bond funds are leveraged about 2.5 times. Next slide, please. As Jill Chen was saying earlier, we're currently in pre-development, but moving towards construction quickly, and we're excited about that. We received design review approval in March, and then plans were also submitted for building permits in March. We've had to do a lot of work with PBOT and ODOT and PGE. The site is on Powell, is a state highway. And so access to 30th Avenue and what it's used for has been a big topic of conversation and has impacted our design and our land use process. We're also in the process of gathering our financing partners. We expect our plans to go out to bid in June. And as with the last project that you heard about, our project team is Colas Construction and Holst Architecture, same team members. We feel really lucky to be able to work with them. Colas does an incredible job doing outreach and helping to meet really aggressive MWESB goals, which also align with Home Forward's values. And so that has been exciting to work with them and do that outreach and target some of those BIPOC-owned subcontractors. The other milestones are that we'll select our lender and investor, our lenders and investor in May. And then we're supposed to receive permits and close at the end of August and probably start construction the beginning of September. Next slide, please. Just to remind you, the site about a year ago when we purchased the back lot was expanded from 1.2 acres to 2.5 acres. And at that point, we increased the number of units from 180 to 206. That allowed us to add parking and another access off of Southeast 31st Avenue and to add much more generous outdoor space and play area and raised garden beds and seating area. When I see the renderings that went to the design review board, I think this is the place I want to live, and that makes me excited. I guess the other major change that has happened over time is just clarity around the plan for the access, easements, slope, and the environmental remediation that was needed on that site. And so all of those things are in process right now. Next slide, please. This just gives you an overview of the site. Just to remind you, the area in purple was the original 3000 Powell site that PHB purchased. The yellow site, the yellow and orange site is the second lot that was purchased by Home Forward a year ago. And that portion that's in yellow is what will become, is what the yellow and blue portions are what will encompass the 3000 Powell project. And the area in orange will be a homeownership development that PHB will oversee and allocate through its typical process. Next slide, please. In terms of our MWESB work, on the soft costs, through our A&E team, we've met 86% MWESB participation. And Colas Construction is committed to meeting or exceeding our MWESB goal of 30%. Colas's previous projects have ranged from 30 to 51% in MWESB participation. We have our mechanical, electrical, and plumbing subs in place. And with those subs, that allocates about 35% of our project budget we know will be with MWESB subs. I guess another piece that I'll add to that is Home Forward right now is really actively working to develop more of a systematic approach to how we work with MWESB subs. And then also we've recently added some new goals around our journey level goals. We have a workforce training goals for apprenticeships that focus on women and BIPOC. And we've added those goals to the journey level. So you can really start to understand and see if people are moving from the apprentice level into the journey level and working with our resident services team to include our existing residents and our Section 8 voucher holders in that process and help them to understand that these apprenticeship programs are available to them and building those relationships with the existing workforce organizations out there and our existing residents. Next slide, please. The original site was burdened with complex easements that were very expensive and time consuming to resolve. It also has a PGE power line that runs across the site and a BES easement. And so Home Forward and PHB agreed over a year ago to expand the site to help resolve those easement issues and create a better overall project. And in March of 2020, that back site was purchased. And so we're working through those utility easements and the public right-of-way and what it will be required by ODOT and PBOT for the 30th Avenue there. And then working through with our environmental team and our engineers on the contaminated soil and how to address those issues both prior to and during construction. Next slide, please. Community engagement. We've had several very successful meetings with the Creston Kenilworth Neighborhood Association and then the Inner Powell Alliance. Through the design review process, we've gotten some great feedback as well. We've had pretty extensive engagement with the immediate neighbors, especially Hopworks, who is directly to the west and will be most impacted by the project. And then working with service providers to develop the new PSH partnerships and soliciting input both on this project and broader projects about how PSH services are delivered and, you know, like in what kind of space, whether it be trauma-informed and private or whether it be, you know, sort of more in a common area. So really thinking about how we incorporate that into our design and then also working with service partners and people who get, who have received and are living in permanent supportive housing. I think that's the last slide. I tried to talk fast.
Thanks, Amanda. I appreciate it. Thanks for the presentation and the information. Any comment or question, being very mindful that we are pushing up to our time, but we want to hear from Commissioner Ryan for sure. So any comments, questions from the Bond Oversight Committee? See head shaking no. So Amanda, thank you very much. We appreciate it. looks like an incredible project with great opportunities. Let me introduce Commissioner Dan Ryan, who is the Housing Commissioner, Commissioner of the City of Portland, and is overseeing what's going on with the Housing Department. Commissioner, welcome into the space. Thank you also for being sensitive to allowing the agenda to continue to roll.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Holt, and it's good to see you all, especially Director Callahan. I hear about these projects at the council meetings. It's different to listen to them when you're at a meeting like this, so I actually was enjoying listening, and I will try to attend more of your meetings because this is where the action is. I want to start off by thanking all of you, your volunteers, and the city needs you, and the city needs you to be bold. The city needs you to think out of the box. We're in an emergency, as you might have noticed if you drive around and walk around town. And so status quo isn't going to cut it. It kind of got us to this place, if you will. So I just appreciate some of the out-of-box thinking that I was hearing. I want to start off by acknowledging the first presentation I walked in on was Andy Miller was making the connection between schools and talking about mobility. And that's my heart will always be with children and families. And when I was involved in that space, if you will, for years, mobility issues were always top of the list for a teacher that was truly being honest with you about what was challenging about teaching, for example, in that neighborhood that you're specifically were talking about. And it doesn't get enough attention. And it always puzzled me that a lot of the housing at that time was smaller units. So it's great to see 2 and 3 bedroom units. And I just really appreciate that trend. My passions would probably be for children and family housing and then for seniors to have the ability to age in place. I think it's always on those margins. So we don't have much time. So this will just be a very quick hello because it's a beautiful night and your time boundary is 6:30. And I'm starting to talk to you with 4 minutes to go. That's just like really great opportunity to hopefully just say a little something. And also hear maybe one or two questions. I want to give a little bit of vision. I don't think it's mind-blowing, but I think of things always in a continuum. When I was in children and family space, it was about birth to career and really looking at what the community milestones are, the indicators that we can track, and then how you can then go into the sub indicators and really look at how to make the community accountable because your best assets are always the community. But often we don't connect the dots and leverage, like Todd mentioned earlier, where you leverage the good work that's going on with the community, big picture plan with government, with the nonprofits, and yes, bring in all the small businesses. And the more that we can connect the dots of the community assets, the better. And so for me, it's from people on the streets that are getting no services all the way to the continuum where someone's in stable housing and becoming homeowners of building that equity and that capital for their families. That's the goal. And so following that track and people resilience and agency is where it is, but we should always be offering an opportunity for people to move, if you will, in that continuum and not remain complacent that they don't want to move because people at their heart always want to continue to grow and evolve in life. And so I hope that our continuum continues to connect those dots. And so when the mayor asked me when I first got in, if I had any preference in bureaus, I actually didn't. I'm a big advocate for having a form of government where we all stay focused on the priorities of the city, which are houselessness and community safety and economic prosperity, which right now is survival for many. And so as a unit, as a team of five, we must stay focused on those top three priorities. So I may be the commissioner that oversees this, but what I liked that the mayor offered was I said, can they be connected to one another? So BDS, the joint office and housing have a nice symmetry. So I can do work that's more systemic in my time in this role. And so I look forward to having meetings, in fact, that include the three directors in charge of those three bureaus so we can start to see where we can leverage within government and start to break down the silos within and start to see greater efficiency in the city that needs to work. I'm going to end with just saying that I spent an hour and a half last night walking around Old Town. I try to do incognito visits to neighborhoods that are suffering quite a bit. And every time I do that, it makes it hard to sleep at night because I couldn't get over some of the images I felt. And I just hope I encourage all of you to continue, even in this time of Zoom and in time where we're not literally seeing one another in rooms, to continue to get out there with your mask on and see how gripping it is right now. We're a city that's in a crisis like we've never been in before. We have people living in a neighborhood like Old Town that are prisoners in their homes. They don't feel safe to go outside. Just think about that for a minute. Like, that's sad. And we have communities like that right now. And so if there is a time for you to make some trouble, for you to think out of the box, now is the time. So when we're doing work such as shelter to housing, and we're codifying the opportunities for tiny homes, for outdoor villages, how can we think about, we've met our goals for this last bond, but what can we do to think out of the box to look at other parts of that continuum? I think all of these projects are great. I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying, what else can we do to challenge ourselves so that we really do connect the dots between the Housing Bureau with the Joint Office, which is done all the time. But I just want us to keep pushing ourselves to be creative at a time of crisis. And I think I'll just end with that because of the hour. It's 6:32 and I'm a real time boundary person. So if you want me to stay for a few minutes, I will. But I'll understand if you're done with being on a Zoom.
I appreciate that, Commissioner. I think having you hang out for a little bit is going to be great for some interaction with the Oversight Committee members. So I will just call each Oversight Committee member, just call you and give you an opportunity to interact and respond. I will begin with Annalise because you went last time. You'll go first this time.
Thank you, Dr. Holt. Commissioner Ryan, it's good to see you again, and I really appreciate you coming. I was excited to learn when you were when you got housing. I know how passionate you are about it, and how personal it is for you. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to have you here and to hear more about what your vision is. I know this has been quick, so excited for continued conversations and learning more from each other and from the community.
Annalise, tell me why you wanted to be on this body, the Bond Oversight Committee.
Yeah, that's really
good. You're all going to answer that. Tell me why you have a fire in your belly to be on this. And if you don't have a fire in your belly, please leave. So, yeah.
No, I served on kind of one of the original community groups that brought the Portland Housing Bond to fruition. And so to me, it's been really wonderful to join this group and really see it through to the, hopefully to the very end and to its success. I mean, so often when you do policy work, you're up there creating laws and passing bonds, and then, you go on to the next thing. And so this has been such an amazing opportunity to have, sat at one of the initial tables, helped pass it, and then continue to see it through all the way.
Nice. Thank you, Annalise.
Yeah, of course.
We're going to go next to Todd Struble.
Good evening, Commissioner. My name's Todd. I don't think we've had a chance to meet in person, but I did want to recognize we know someone in common. I went hiking earlier this week with RJ Petershagen, and he said to say hello. So small world, but
You know RJ?
Wow. Yeah.
I'd love to talk offline with you. That was you really threw a curveball. I went to Roosevelt High School back in the day, so
he said high school and college together. So but to answer your question, I think to the seriousness of our housing crisis, yeah. And I think I was appointed by your predecessor, Commissioner Fish, and it's been very gratifying to serve on this committee, and I'm appreciative of him for that opportunity. As you mentioned, it's the crisis of our city at this time, and has been for a while, and continues to be for the foreseeable future. I think Commissioner Fish saw our work in East Portland with Apano and the Jade District around equitable development and stabilizing communities that are vulnerable to displacement and the pressures of rising housing costs and economic challenges. So that is the perspective that I've tried to bring to this group and this public project. And I'm like I mentioned before, seeing some of these projects come to life in some of the neighborhood prosperity networks that Prosper Portland has invested in has been gratifying. And I'd like to see this work through. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. That's really helpful.
Susan, we will go to you next.
Well, I also am really happy that you're here, Commissioner Ryan. I think it's so good that you've joined this meeting tonight. I was appointed by Amanda Fritz to the bond oversight. I was the director at Northwest Pilot Project for 31 years, and we were an organization that published an annual inventory and documented the loss year after year. And so I think we were one of the groups, we kept losing housing and losing housing. In the central city, we monitored one neighborhood. And so when the bond measure passed and there was an opportunity to sit on a group that could actually look at projects and determine how we were going to spend this money and how we were going to report back to the community and measure. And I think PHB has done an exceptional job of reporting. As members, we've asked very specific questions. At one point after one meeting, I said, are we a nuisance? Are we asking too many questions? No, that's great. And that you want the specifics and you want the budgets and we want to be responsible. I, like you, have walked the city. I've lived all my life in an apartment, all my adult life in apartments, and raised our twin sons in an apartment in Northwest Portland. And I talk to people who are camping. I talk to neighbors who have tents on their streets in Northwest Portland where they never have, in neighborhoods where we've never seen people camping. It is appalling. I have the same sense of urgency that you do. And I think that we've got to do better, and we will. I think that we will. I'm very encouraged by some of the outreach that's going on, but it is a very difficult and challenging time. And I just can't say enough about the PHB staff. I think they are a really hardworking, passionate group of people. So that's my input.
Thank you, Susan.
Alan, it is you.
Thank you, Dr. Holt. And good evening, Commissioner Ryan. Thank you for being here. It's great to see you again. I was before council, was that the same week or was it last week? It's hard to keep track of the weeks anymore down here in my basement. So, it really resonates with me what you were talking about, kind of where we are in the project. We were just talking about that earlier in the meeting about the funding that we have still available in the bond and the opportunity that's before us in how we look at solving the crisis that is at hand and how we respond to that. And I agree with the folks here who tonight have said that the PHB staff are the right folks to put that charge in their hands. They've been really wonderful in responding to the work that's happened under the bond. And so it's a pleasure to work with them and to be involved in this. And, you know, I also appreciate the question about why we're involved here. And you know, for me, it's a very specific answer. And you know, I think the best way for me to root it is in something that, as we said, your predecessor, Commissioner Fish, had pulled me aside one time to say. I was speaking before council, and one of the phrases I used was that, you know, housing isn't just about, and I said this earlier, isn't just about the roof over your head. It's about the opportunity out your front door. And so we've really, for me, I'm trying to bring that fair housing perspective that it isn't just about building units. It's about creating opportunity and ensuring that as we're making these investments, that they are paying off for those residents in a way that is meaningful for those folks. And I think that's a vitally important piece of this work, not just counting the number of units, the number of people we're housing, but what we are doing to create opportunity, create inclusive communities, and to create opportunities for so many people
that might not otherwise have those without the work that you all are doing here. So I greatly appreciate that.
Thank you, Alan.
Well, appreciate the feedback and the opportunity to hear from Commissioner Ryan, and then also for each of the bond oversight committee members to kind of talk about the fire that's in their belly. Before I wrap up our meeting, Commissioner, were there any other thoughts or comments?
Well, I just want to make some closing comments after I hear the fire in your belly, Dr. Holt.
Oh, the fire in my belly. Mm-hmm. Well, you will get a chance to hear a lot of the fire in my belly when we come together for the group that I chair. In this space, I'm the facilitator of the work, and so and helping to strategize how we do what we do, but I'm extremely passionate when it comes to housing and affordability and how we address gentrification and displacement. So thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to being able to expound more when we are in the Oversight Committee for the North Northeast Housing Strategies.
Okay, let me just end by saying I realize I'm on shoulders when you come into any position. And so my job is to leverage those assets. And I'll start by saying that I'm impressed with Director Callahan and her team, like was mentioned earlier, and also Mark Jolin and their team at the Joint Office. And I do see them as definitely connected. I want to mention that I saw an article not too long ago where Director Callahan even mentioned we have a slow permitting process. This just in, since the earth was cooling, I think Portland has been challenged with the permitting process. That's a little glacier-esque. And so we are on it. It's called the Permit Improvement Task Force. And tomorrow we have our second meeting, and we have all seven bureaus that do permitting are involved with their director and the person that's online and responsible for the permitting itself. And we have to figure out how to improve and speed that up, especially at a time like we're in now. Now is the time. And I just wanted to say congratulations for the word exceeding being repeated four times on this slide. It's not lost on me. And I appreciate your advocacy. And I look forward to being back at other meetings so I can partner with you and leverage what you're doing out in the public space so that we can continue to build momentum. And I agree that Portland's best days are coming, and our big challenge is to show ourselves and the rest of the world that we know how to handle our gripping houselessness challenge. And please know my compassion for those on the streets is big. I lost a brother on the streets, and it's just, we have to call it out sometimes and say it's overwhelming. And I think Old Town might be the neighborhood that sticks out more than most in terms of just how challenged we are at the moment. And so anyway, let's just continue to think good thoughts, continue to have compassion, and let's continue to take action. And I appreciate all of you for that action that you take. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate that. With that, we will wrap up our meeting for tonight. Appreciate everyone being in the space. We have gone past our time, but it was worth it. The work is significant and the lift is big. It's going to take all of us collaboratively, strategically thinking about how we do that together. And so those who are leaning in, it is appreciated and valued. Our next meeting is going to happen in July on the 15th. It will be at 9:30 in the morning. That's the third Thursday of July. It will be via Zoom platform. And hopefully we will be leaving these platforms and actually be able to see people in person and reconnect soon. Until then, let me encourage you to do a couple of things. One, you've heard it repeatedly, get out in the community and see for yourself what's going on. Nothing hits your heart like seeing it up close and personal. Number two, stay safe. Do what is necessary to keep yourself and your family safe. And then number three, I think it's important that we keep breathing, that we breathe deeply, that we think compassionately, and that we take action. Thanks so much for everybody being in the space. Have an incredible Thursday evening. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.